button right now. I just now hit the record button. It's 1 o'clock Central Time, and I got so excited about the broadcast today, I failed to record the entire first half of it. So I get an F for the whole first half of the Pastor Mike Online Live broadcast. But centralization of authority is the design of Lucifer. Bring everybody into one conglomeration. That's what the word, are you ready for this one? That's what the word community is all about. Oh, we're the community church. You know what that means? We are in a communal organization where if one person fails, we all have to fail with them. And if one person doesn't have enough, then we have to give all of our stuff to them so that everybody can be equal. See how it works? See, it all brings together, doesn't it? And they said, Samuel, we want a king. We don't want local control of our affairs anymore. We do not want the judges' system anymore. And all the judges did was judge in matters of the law. But they didn't write new laws. They didn't have new decrees and new dictates. They didn't have anything like that. They just said, well, the law says, you know, if that's your bull, and your bull got over in his yard and destroyed his fence, then the law says you have to pay him back for that. Now, if you keep the bull, you can keep the bull, but you got to compensate him for the bull. That's what the law says. And that's what the judges did. That was their job. Because everybody had the same constitution. But now we're turning it over to centralized authority, centralized governance, and the NSA is going to turn out to be, and you get ready for this one, the NSA is going to turn out to be the blackmail organization of America to make sure that everybody conforms to the central authority. And if you don't believe that, just ask yourself, what kind of power does the Catholic priest have in third world nations, or even in Europe for that matter? What kind of power does the priests and the cardinals and the bishops have of the Catholic Church in other nations? And even in America, probably. They have tremendous power. How did they get that power? They know the dirty secrets of everybody in town. And so does the NSA now. They know all your dirty little secrets. And if they say, we want you to sign up, and if you don't, we'll expose you for who you are. Everybody's going to go, no, I don't want that. Where do I sign? Do I want it? Can I get it in my hand instead of my forehead? Yeah, you can get it in your hand. Okay, do that. Just let's keep this under wraps. Centralized authority, people. God made you as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. God made you a king and a priest. God gives you, and some people don't like this, God gave you every right in the world to read the Bible for yourself and determine whether what somebody said from the pulpit was true or not true. God gave you that ability. You have a Bible? Here's another one related to that. Bill Gates Foundation creating massive student database within Bloom. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gave $100 million to fund a giant database to collect private information of American school children starting in early education and extending all the way through high school. Centralized information, centralized control, bring everybody together. Let's get all the churches that are in denominations, and let's just be honest. Let's just be honest, okay? And I love churches and pastors that will hold to the King James Bible. I love you. I do. I think you guys were standing for the King James when I was trying to spit through an NIV. How long ago was that I did that? That's almost 18 years ago. You guys were still standing for the King James, so I salute you. But I will tell you this. I know a lot of independent Baptist churches that are not so independent as they brag they are. There's always a head cheese somewhere that tells all the other little independent Baptist churches how to roll, how to believe, how to preach, how to do this, how to wear these clothes, how to have these standards, how to say this behind your pulpit, how to teach this book, how to teach this doctrine. Some of you are not that way, and I love you, and I know, and some of you may know who I'm talking about. I love you guys because you've decided to be independent Baptist. But I know way too many independent Baptist preachers that whatever Dr. So-and-so said of such-and-such college, whatever he said, well, that's what we, that's, you know, because we won't get invited to his conference if we say, well, we don't go along with that. Ah, you heretic, you! I know how it goes. I listen, I know it. I get it. If you're going to say you're independent, then why don't you actually try being independent? Independent of what anybody else, no matter their status, their credentials, the DR in front of their name, or anything else. Job said something about not supposed to have all those flattering titles in your name anyway. Why don't you just start being independent? Just, this is the scriptures, we're going to follow the scriptures, and whatever these guys that out here that I fellowship with, whatever they say about me, I don't care anymore. Mike Hutzel, he's that way. We were both former Free Will Baptist pastors. We came out. You know why? They're trying to tell us what to do. They're trying to put us under their submission and rule and tell us, well, you got to go along with these things that we're doing. You got to go along with the D6 conference. You got to go along with the music. You got to go along with short shorts. You got to go along with this and go along with that. You got to quit using and quit bashing all these guys that's not using the King James. And I'm going, nah. No, I'll just, bye. I see you. I love you. I wish I could have been with you because I've been with you all my life, but no, forget it. I'm done. And I respect him for that. And I know some other pastors that are thinking the very, very same way. And I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I'm not saying it's a sin for you to be part of a denomination. I'm not saying that. But at some point, you're going to have to make a decision because they're going to force you to make a decision. They're going to force you to decide whose side you're going to be on. You're going to stand for what's right? You're going to stand for what's true? Or are you going to stand for your autonomy and your authority? Or are you just going to go along to get along? And that was me some 18, 20 years ago. I was the biggest suck-up that there was in the denomination. And God knew that about me. You know what God did for me? God let me repeatedly get my feelings hurt by pastors that I looked up to. And I just decided, you know, if that's how you're going to treat me, and I've been worshiping you all my life, and if that's how you're going to treat me, then I'll just go away. And I did. And some of them went, oh, we're glad Hoggard's gone. Oh, my goodness, the things he said. Anyway, let me read some emails. I don't read enough emails here. Travelocity has a sale for me. I'm not going to read that one. Rachel says, thank you for standing, keeping, and spreading the truth. Appreciate that, Rachel. Airportrentals.com knows that I'm going to fly on a plane next week, and they're trying to see. They know all this stuff about me. Let's see here. I can't watch YouTube videos during the program, so don't send them to me, please. Hey, Pastor Mike, I ran across this site the other day via YouTube video about how Michelle Obama is really a man. I love you. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that. All right. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm not going to do that, all right? I'm not. I'm not trying to be rude to you. I really am not. There's some things that just, to me, are just too bizarre and unknowable. Unknowable. You show me a doctor's report, or you show me unphotoshopped picture. Well, no, I don't want that either. Never mind. Never mind. Let's see here. Mark says, Pastor Mike, number one, Rick Warren has a new workbook to go along with the new movie, The Son of God. What do you think about it? I don't have it. I haven't seen The Son of God either, but I don't know. I'm not going to go sit in a movie house and watch it because I'm just not all fired up over it. Roma Downey, who made this movie, I'm an angel. She's Roman Catholic. I'm not interested in going to watch another Roman Catholic movie about Jesus. Number two, DreamWorks Film Company has also hired him to be the biblical consultant for the new animated movie, Moses. And tell Todd, our token California guy, Todd came and visited us, and he stank of California. I mean, he had it all over him. I knew some California guys, and he was just like them. Todd, we love you. Let's see here. David. Hi, Pastor Mike. Saw an article on something about Sozo. Could you address this sometime? Thanks. I have, but I tell you what. I'll do a little bit more research into the idea of what Sozo is all about. I can tell you that it's done by bozos, all right? Todd Bentley's one of them. Sozo is one of these Greek words that they've retranslated to make some big supernatural happening in the supernatural realm. And it all ends up with Todd Bentley kicking you in the gut to heal you. And I just don't think that's a good idea. Anne, nice try. Pastor Mike, since you failed to hit the record button, would you consider going an extra hour? I don't know. No. 2 hours, it really is. It really is enough. It's hard on my voice. And some days I just try to get so much done in a day so I can have the next day to kind of relax a little bit. Some day I just go home just wasted. But you know what? I'm not complaining because I told God a long time ago, God, I want to burn a candle at both ends. And when I draw my last breath, I want to have done everything that I could possibly have done for your kingdom's sake. And that's what I want to do. Matthew chapter 24. Take your Bible and turn there. I left you with, in Matthew 24, this verse in verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And with all due respect, and I sincerely mean this, I know I come across as maybe harsh or as a know-it-all or anything, and I don't want to be that way. I'm like Romans 7 Paul. The thing that I would do, that's what I don't do. The thing that I don't want to do, that's what I do. I don't want to come, you people out there that believe this old King James, you love it. You stand by it, you pray over it, you meditate on it, you think on these things, you do all these, you teach out of it. Man, God bless you. And I really mean that. Thank you. And I've just sort of developed a policy that if a guy is using the King James, and he's only using the King James for his ministry, I don't care what he does. I'm not going to go after him. And there's several names that if I mention them, you would know them. Of guys that I've heard things come out of their mouth, and I'm going, oh, no way. I don't go for that at all. And I'm not going to do that. I am not going to do that. Why? They use a King James. And I've got it in my mind that since it's not supposed to be our words anyway, that's the seed going into some lost sinner's life, that it's the Word of God, the incorruptible Word of God, I say to all you King James people out there, whether I think you're beyond left field or not, keep preaching that book. Keep going. Keep doing it. And so what I'm going to say here in verse 13, I mean no disrespect to anybody whatsoever, but it's just more of a plea to reconcile some things in the Scriptures concerning this topic of Christian endurance. Now, let me say at the start here, I absolutely believe in the election of God, elect according to God's foreknowledge. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians used the word predestined. I absolutely believe that. And I believe what it says. Absolutely believe what it says. Have no problem with what it says. It doesn't alter my thinking in any way, shape, or form. But there is something to... I believe that God keeps... I'm trying to think of the verse. And again, I'm not good at remembering where these verses are half the time. So I keep software around me all the time. I got to go look it up. Let me look that up. Kept. Type in the word kept. Okay? Look all through your King James, 175 occurrences of it. That won't take you too long to look at it, by the way. But there's a passage here somewhere in the New Testament talking about being kept by the power of God. Kept. I can't find it anywhere, but let me widen the search a little bit. Kept by. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, I will say this. There are those who would say that Peter was only written to and for the Jews who have to do works to keep their salvation. 1 Peter 1:5 contradicts that idea. 1 Peter 1:5, Peter clearly says that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And isn't faith the essential part of our salvation anyway? For by grace are we saved. How? Through faith. If there is no faith, and you and I know this, do we say of some Joe Smith out there that has never darkened the door of a church a day in his life, he's never called on God, he doesn't even believe in God, do we say that that person is going to be saved and in heaven? The answer is no, we don't say that. And so likewise, faith is the essential part of salvation, where God gives grace to those who have faith. And where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It just kind of all wraps around itself, and I love it. But we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That final salvation. Dear old man that I used to pastor out in Richwoods, Missouri, Junior Lewis. Bless his. That guy was funny. Funny old man. He would sleep in church. You'd never see him move, never see him budge. I loved him dearly. Gone on to be with the Lord. But he's the guy, he got saved a long time ago in Richwoods, still baptizes down at the Big River. And when Junior got saved, I think it was a Sunday night service in January, and he said, I think I need to be baptized. And they went down to the Big River, and they chipped up ice from the riverbank and took him down into that water and baptized him. And he got saved at a young age, and he didn't die until he was in his 80s. You know what God did? God kept him all that time, and he revealed his final salvation to him at the end of his life. He said, Junior, I kept my word. I love that. So I believe that. I absolutely believe that. But in Matthew 24, what I told you to do in verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. there are some who look at that and say, well, obviously that cannot be for us because we don't have to endure. And I respectfully disagree with that. And I made mention, look at what Paul said. Did Paul ever give the idea that endurance or continuance had anything to do with God's promise to us? I believe it does. Let's look. So here's what we're going to do. Let's go to the software here. And I don't have it rigged. Okay? Yeah, I'd suspicious of that software. I think it just pulls up what Mike wants. No, come on. I didn't write it. C-O-N-T-I-N-U. And then let's put a asterisk there. That's going to give us all the occurrences of the word continue. Let's go down to the New Covenant. Okay? Let's scroll down here. And you can look at the Old Covenant if you want to. I just don't. I don't think you'll find the what I'm thinking about here. And I'll show you in a minute. Let's look at Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So we know that Mike Cutts will preach this week, and it was good. We don't continue in sin. We let God whoop the fire out of us and drive sin out of us, but we don't continue in it. And it's the work of the Holy Ghost in us that'll drive us away from it. It's not done in our own flesh. I promise you, I tried for years to get out of sin with my own flesh and my own brain. I'm going to listen to Norman Vincent Peale. I'm going to listen to Amway tapes, and I'm going to let that make my mind just drive sin out of my life. I tried that for years. It doesn't work. But let's look at it. Let's look at Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity. Notice, see this word fell. I want you to do this. And I'm going to do this at some future day. I'm going to do a Watchman broadcast on the fallen. Write down the word fell, fall, falling, fallen. Any of those variants. And then do your own study in the Word of God to find out what. How art thou fallen from heaven? Dagon fell. Babylon is fallen. The Jericho walls fell. They fell in the plain of Dura. There shall be a falling away first in that man of sin. And you know what? You know what gets me? And I've mentioned this before. People who have such a skewed idea of their doctrine that they have actually changed and altered 2 Thessalonians 2, that when it says there shall come a falling away first, I know that the Swaggart boys do this in their Jimmy Swaggart Bible and all their commentary notes and everything like that. When they get to 2 Thessalonians 2 and it says that there shall be a falling away first, the Swaggart boys take that now saying, no, a better translation. What this originally should be translated as, a catching up. You know what they just did? They altered the wording of the scriptures to match their doctrine. You're not supposed to do that. So let's go back to the. You just can't. You got to. This is what it says. This is what the scripture says. So study the word fall and fell and falling and fallen and fellers and. No, I'm just kidding. On them which fell, severity. God has a severe judgment on those who fall. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be what? Cut off. Now let's walk circumspectly around this verse so we get exactly what's being talked about. For if God spared not the natural branches, here we go, Israel. Take heed lest he spare, thus he also spare not thee. Singular. It's talking to you personally. Thee. and he's given the story about the branch. Now, Jim Staley and the Hebrew guys say, now the branch is the tree here is the Hebraic understanding. And it doesn't say that, Jim, so you can't just make it up as you go. That branch is Christ. It is. That branch is Christ. That's all through the scriptures. He's the root of Jesse, the branch, the stem of David. I am the vine, you the branches. It's Christ is who it is. And so anyway, if God spared not the natural branches, and why didn't he spare them? Was it because of their works? No. It's because of what they sinned? You and I have sinned. Why didn't God spare Israel? Unbelief. They said, we don't believe it. 10 spies come back and say, you can't go in the promised land. Joshua and Caleb, they had a different spirit on them. They said, yeah, God said it's ours, so I think we ought to go in. They didn't believe it. And so with whom was he displeased? Those who were unbelieving. Whose carcasses rotted in the wilderness? The people who didn't believe. That's who rotted in the wilderness. That's the branches that God said, oh, you don't believe anymore? And cast them away. Then he took us, redneck hillbillies, and there's rednecks in Kentucky, rednecks in Northern California. There's rednecks in Kenya, and rednecks in Netherlands. They're everywhere. Hillbillies, country boys. Okay, my father-in-law grew up old school. I mean, he grew up out in the country, going to an outdoor toilet and all that stuff. And when we got out to Western Kenya, he's going, They're still living how I grew up. And I said, yeah, they're country people, Sterling, just a different country, but they're country folk. And that's who God called. That's who God called. God said, hey, you want on the vine, Jesus? Yeah, I do. I'm a sinner. I want eternal life. Will you believe him? Absolutely. Whatever he says, I'll believe. Stick this on there. And so read it. Let's go back to verse 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I may be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by what? Faith. Let me pull that back up there so you can see it. Be not high-minded, but fear. And I want to ask you a question, just people out there and preachers. How many of you know some high-minded Christians? How many of you know some high-minded preachers? I do. I know a lot of them. They sound like they've got it all together, like they got it. And they're not ever going to waver. They're not ever going to faint. They're not ever going to do this, and they're not ever going to do that. I think that's boasting. I think that's high-mindedness. I think God tells us, let him that standeth take heed, lest he... You know what word comes after that? Let him that standeth take heed lest he fall. And he's telling us here to not be like Israel. Israel, to this day, are cocky and arrogant about who they are. High-minded. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, and them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. God is able to graft them in, what's that word? Again. I love that! I love that! You know what God's going to do? God's going to take Israel and put them back on the branch, on the vine, Jesus Christ. I love that. That's the gospel. Is that doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. You can get back on the branch if you want to. I love it. And God's going to do that. No, not. He's not going to go dig up the wicked ones from the Old Testament. There's Jews right now living out there that God's got in mind. They're going to believe what I said. And God's going to go get them. No, I don't believe in a second work of grace. I didn't say that. Because I know how people watch Pastor Mike Online. I know how they watch it. They take a 2-second clip and said, he believes in second work of grace. He believes in baptismal regeneration. He believes in work salvation. No, I don't. Don't lie on me. tell, well, it is better if you lie about me than it is sometimes to tell the truth on me. I'll tell you that. Anyway, they also, they abide not still in unbelief shall be grafted in. Let's look at some more verses with the word continue in it. Oh, here's a good one. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I just want to ask you a question. Throw out a little challenge to you. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that we can rejoice in hope? Oh, no, wrong one. I do. Do you believe that we are to be patient in tribulation? Do you believe that we are to continue instant in prayer? I believe that. The Christian, the true born-again believer, the sealed with the Holy Spirit believer, continues instant in prayer. That means when somebody asks you to pray for them, you stop right then and you pray. Or situation comes up and you ain't got it figured out, you stop. That's your nature, to stop and pray. It is your nature. It's like there's something, you know, it's just by habit. You know, I used to have habits where I smoked and drank and chased this and did that, but it just seemed like I've been saved. God's given me new habits to do. And somebody says, boy, I think we ought to pray about this. Well, let's do that. Heavenly Father, right now we come to you in Jesus' name. We ask for your grace. You continue instant in prayer. What else? What else has the word continue in it? Galatians 2:5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know who he was talking about? The somewhats. These people who thought they were somewhat, that didn't add anything to what Paul was saying worth listening to. And he said, I didn't put up with them. He said, I didn't give place to them. I didn't let them stand up and talk. Why? Because I didn't want them contradicting the gospel. So, let's see here. He's quoting the Old Testament, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. There you go, guys. You Hebrew rootists and you Seventh-day Adventists and all you law keepers that are lying through your teeth because you don't really keep the law, but you're making everybody think that you do. If you don't continue in every law, then you're cursed. If that's the covenant that you want, you can have it. I'm just telling you right now, you're not going to get eternal life by it. There is no life in the Torah. It's the law of sin and death. Colossians 1. Let's go to verse 21. You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, I want to show you a couple things out of this passage here. You that were sometime, he's talking to a group, you all, or as we would say, y'all. Y'all that were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled. That is past tense, isn't it? He hath reconciled. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he hath glorified them who he called. He sanctified them. He sanctified, he glorified. And all of those were already done at the cross. They were past tense verbs describing those who were sealed, those who were sanctified, those who were glorified, those who were elected, those who were predestined, those who were chosen from the foundation of the world. Those are the ones who continued in the faith. And I'm going to throw something out here. I believe in everlasting redemption. I believe in eternal salvation. I believe in everlasting life. I believe in the seal of the Holy Spirit. I believe, and I'm using all these terms that I've read in the Scripture. I've studied this issue. I believe in all of those things. But I also know and believe from Scripture that the guy that goes to heaven continued. He continued. He didn't stop believing. He kept believing. Even when he was tried, he believed. Even when he was tempted, he believed. Even when there was wars going on, he believed. Even when he lost his wife and his children and all of his property in a war, he still believed. Even when everybody else around him fell away, he still believed. That's who goes to heaven. The people who continue. They keep going. They don't stop. They don't give up. They don't let thorns choke out the word. They don't have hard, stony ground that the word cannot penetrate into their lives. They just believe it. They don't have it. And I'm going to tell you something. The best Christians in the world are the people who don't have anything else to fall back on. They don't have their own works. They don't have their own high-mindedness. They don't have their own stamina. I consider myself being in that group. I don't have an alternative to go back on if this Christian thing doesn't work. I just don't have anything else. So I've just decided to continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and I'm not going to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Continue in prayer, Colossians 4:2, 1 Timothy 2:15. Let's back up. Let's look at it from a circumspect situation. Let's go all the way to verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now somebody said, Hoggard, you're talking about the last watchman. You don't go for that holding hands up in the air and stuff. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. It says in the Scripture to lift up holy hands. I believe it. I had a pastor at one time that didn't like that. He said, that's that charismatic stuff. We don't want that stuff in here. Bless God. We don't want that. I don't want that hand clapping. That's not right now. And I'm going, well, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God what the voice is driving. He was actually just contradicting Scripture because he was afraid that somebody was going to label him charismatic. I don't care. Raise your hands. You want to, listen, when you should have seen us here the other night. Now, I tell you what, Tuesday night, Pastor Mike was preaching It Is Well, and I just felt led of the Lord get up there during the invitation and sing It Is Well with my soul. And I'll tell you what, there was hands all over this building, raised to heaven. Man, it was sweet. Lift up your hands, by the way. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Think about that for a while, ladies. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women forsaking godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Did you hear that, Joyce? Hey, Joyce! Did you hear that? Learn in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. If. And Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16, he said, let's go all the way back to verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. We did that with Dave Bradley, sent him off into Italy by laying hands on him and sending him forth. We gave him that gift. I believe in that. I believe that God confers authority by authority. I don't go for these self-appointed apostles and self-appointed bishops and self-appointed... no man called me to preach. God called me to preach. I'm not so sure about that. But anyway, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And that doesn't say Presbyterians either. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Did you hear that? Salvation is a continuance of faith. People, please do your own study of this. Don't take my word for it. But I'm looking at this, and it looks like to me that salvation is a continuation of faith. Because that's how God chose to save, by grace, through faith. Let's see here. 2 Timothy 3:14. But evil, let's go to 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You know what Paul knew about Timothy? Timothy learned the Scriptures from a child, and he held on to them all of his life. And Paul said, you hang on to that, boy. That book's going to save your life. You hang on to those Scriptures. And let me just kind of chase this little rabbit here for a minute. Paul called them the Holy Scriptures. You know what Timothy had? Did he have the original manuscripts? Mm-mm. You know what he had? Translated copies. That's more than likely, even if that, if they weren't translated, they were still copies. That's what Timothy had. And they said, now the term Holy Scripture only applies to the original manuscripts. That's not what Paul said. Paul said Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures from a child. Anyway, meanwhile, back in the Scriptures, he said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith. Faith, 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 faith. Faith, faith, faith. And please, I'm pleading with you out there. Stop believing the scare tactics of people out there that are telling you that belief is a work. That is the stupidest thing. Well, it's not the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Obamacare is the second stupidest thing I've ever heard. But one of the stupidest things I've ever heard is, belief is a work, and you're preaching work salvation because you say they have to believe. God said they had to believe, not me. God said that. You believe work salvation. Belief's a work. What is wrong? What is wrong with people? I don't understand that. Anyway, that's what Paul said about continuation. Keep going. That does not, there is nothing about what Paul said that contradicts Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure in the end, the same shall be saved. There's not one thing here that Matthew said that contradicts any of the doctrines of Paul. Not one. One gospel. One faith. One baptism. One Spirit. One Lord of all. That's what Paul said. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I believe that. I believe that God has appointed His people since the beginning to preach the gospel. Yep, I said since the beginning. Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Old Testament prophets, the Bible says that the Spirit of Christ was in them testifying of these things. Paul said the gospel was preached to them like it is preached to us, but it wasn't mingled with faith. See it? They didn't believe. They quit believing. They believed Moses to go out of the promised land. They didn't believe, or out of Egypt. They didn't believe Moses to go into the promised land. And God said, okay, your carcass is going to fall right here in the wilderness. By the way, I have not and will not say that they lost their salvation. Because I don't believe salvation is lost. Because if it didn't actually save them, it's not salvation. Go study every occurrence in the Scriptures of the word save, saving, Savior, salvation. Every occurrence in the Scriptures. I did. Go do it. And I'm not bragging that I did, but that's what I did. And I know there was hundreds of occurrences. And I just took the time because I said, God, I want to know this. I want to know this from your word. I don't want to know this from this denomination. I don't want to know it from that denomination. I don't care what John said. I don't care what Jacob said. I don't care what the Pope said. I don't care what the doctors said. I want to know what you said. And I want to tell you something. I am still believing that God is looking for, just like he said in Isaiah 28 and Isaiah 53, God is looking for people who's going to believe his report. Whom shall he teach doctrine? Whom shall he give understanding to? I believe God is looking for people out there, people like me and people like you, failed, worthless sinners who have not got the doctorate degree, who will just say, God, I believe this book, and I will only believe this book, and you teach me what this book says. God's still looking for the people. Will you be one of them? That you'll decide, you know what? Why is it so dangerous? Why is it so dangerous? Doesn't your mouth water when I take a drink? Don't you, like, and you hear me do that, and you go, everybody take a drink now. Ready? What is so dangerous about asking legitimate questions and asking to be shown in the Scripture the answers? What's so dangerous about that? What's so dangerous to a charismatic preacher? When somebody in their congregation will say, "Can you show me in the Scriptures why there's a man down in the front barking like a dog? Can you show me in the Scriptures why this woman behind me is speaking? God only knows what's coming out of her mouth, and she won't shut up. Can you show me from the Scriptures where that comes from?" What is so dangerous about asking questions and refusing to have an answer that doesn't come from Genesis to Revelation? What's so dangerous about that? I'm a popular person today. I have people call me and text messaging me and everything else. Anyway, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now I'm going to admit something to you. When I go back to the book of Daniel, and I don't know, can I get a witness? Okay, can I get a witness from some people? Daniel chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... pretty easy stuff to understand. It's the stories of, you know, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, lion's den, the image of Nebuchadnezzar, and so on. You get into Daniel 7, and you're going, wow, that's out there. And it gets worse in Daniel 8. And it gets, like, really difficult when you're just reading Daniel 9. And you're looking in 10, and you're looking in Daniel 11 and 12, and the sentences don't even make sense in some cases. And I'm not saying my Bible's got stupid stuff in it. I'm just looking at it going, to me, Daniel 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 are hard to just read and comprehend, much less understanding the full depth of that part of the book of Daniel. I have a hard time understanding even the language structure of several of the verses in the latter half of the book of Daniel. And I have pored over this thing of the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, here's part of what I get. There is going to be something that is so abominable that it's going to cause desolation. Desolation means it's wiped out. I have a theory. Here's the theory that I don't have. I don't believe at all that, I can't remember his name, whatever king that was that poured pig's blood in the temple, I don't think that was it. You know why? But for hearing it in lectures and reading about it in archaeological reviews, I would never know that that took place. It was an intertestamental period happening where some Antiochus Epiphanes, whoever that was, went into the temple and poured pig's blood in there. Now, that may have been like a type of it, the same way Hitler is a type of the Antichrist. It may be a type of it. But for hearing it in lectures on prophecy and reading about it in prophecy books and knowing the story from historical accounts, I would have never known that that story existed because it's not in the scriptures. And I'm a stickler for if it's not in the scriptures, it doesn't exist. It's the rules of evidence. And the rules of evidence, you cannot go into court with, "Judge, my neighbor told me that they saw this guy out here." "Objection, Your Honor! Hearsay!" Judge says, "You cannot tell me what your neighbor told you. You could be lying through your teeth. We don't know that. It's not admissible. The story of Antiochus Epiphanes is not admissible in my courtroom." You know why? It's hearsay. I don't know if it happened or not. I have no idea. You know why I don't know it happened? Because it's not in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, I know it happened. And God will draw you to it, but it's not there. So I don't use it to understand anything. And so I am not quite sure what this abomination of desolation is. I have a theory, though, that I think it has something to do with the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what I think it is. I may be wrong, but I would, you know, if you got any insights on that, biblical insights, I am all headphones, okay? Verse 16, "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, but pray that your flight be not in winter." I do have a theory that it won't be in winter. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm just looking at it, and I probably won't be in winter. "Neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now, I've done this before, and I've received a lot of sharp criticism over it. So, I'm going to do it again. Study the word tribulation, or tribulations. Study those words. Start back here, and go all the way forward. And ask yourself this one question. Does God ever appoint his believers to tribulation? Now, I know for a fact that God does not appoint us to wrath. That's what the Bible says. I believe that. But ask the question, does God ever allow his believers, his people, his children, does God ever allow them to suffer and endure tribulation? The easy answer in the minds of some of you listening out there is, "Pastor, I have been through tribulation. I've had my faith tested and tried. I have been through the storms, the persecution, the doubts, the attacks. I've been through all that stuff. And, Pastor, I'll admit to you, there was a time when I didn't think I was going to make it. And I will tell you, listening, all y'all listening, I've been there. People ask me, Pastor, you know the videos you made on the Masons? Have you ever had the Masons come out after you? Have they threatened you? Huh? Have they? I say, no. No, they haven't. Oh, really? Well, I wonder why. And I say, because they don't have to. I've got spirits that at times drive me up a wall and won't let me go. And God lets them do it to me. You know what he's doing? He's training me. Some would say, well, I just don't see how Jesus would drag his bride through tribulation. I just don't see how God would take his children and let somebody beat up on them. And I don't see how Yeah, we are children. Yes, we are characterized as the bride, but we are also characterized as soldiers. And soldiers need to be trained. We don't bring soldiers in to the armed forces, the Marines, the Air Force, the Navy. We don't just bring them in and say, think you can fly that? Give her a whirl. I think it's pretty easy. I think you can do it. Now, we're going to have to go over, see that hill over there? There's about 14,000 of the enemy over there. You guys that just showed up, go up there and ask them fellas to leave so we can have that hill. We don't do that. We train these guys, and I've watched these reality shows on how they train these special ops guys, and 90% of the people who sign up for special operations training puke themselves out of it, and they never finish it. But the guys that can finish it, we put them out there doing the dirtiest thing that is imaginable in warfare. Why? Because they have been through everything and they survived. And I have, and you have already endured hard times. I would not be comfortable with myself if I thought that I would not have to ever endure anything for the cause of Christ. And then wake up one day going, uh-oh, it's happening. I would rather be prepared. I would rather be trained and disciplined and worked over. And every attack that has ever been on me spiritually, God allowed it. Why? Train me. God's taught me how to fight with these hands. You know how I fight? God, please get this off of me. God, help me. Lord, I believe your word. God, I know, Lord, it seems like I'm just full of doubts right now, but God, this is your word, and I believe it, God. Lord, would you perform your good word inside of my life right now and make these things leave? God, you come down here and make these beasts get off of me in Jesus' name. That's how you fight them. They can't handle that. They don't like that. That's our secret. Okay? Let me read some emails real quick. You guys have been so patient with me. Gabrielle says, Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Faith gives access into the grace that causes us to stand. You got it. It's faith. Faith, 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 faith. Lindy. Why does it say in Scripture to fear God, but then in another place in Scripture, that perfect love casts out fear? Thank you and God bless. Fear, here's what you do, Lindy. You download your own personal, private copy of the King James Bible, Pure Bible Search software, and type in the word fear of the Lord. and you look at all the places in the Bible where that looks 30 occurrences there, that's a pretty neat number. Or you want to get a broader expansion of it, just look at the word fear in the King James Bible. Now, that's 400 occurrences. That's not counting fear, feareth, fearings, fearyingly. Doesn't cover all that one. But when you get done, it'll be worth, I promise you, studying 400 occurrences of a word or phrase in the Bible is not time wasted. I promise you it's not. It's not. And you study what God says about fear the Lord, and I promise you, you'll get it by the time you're done. You'll go, that makes a lot of sense. Do you know what I have? I have a very proper fear of the Lord. Let me put it down on human level. When I was young and I was a little boy, I had a very proper and correct attitude toward my mother and my father. Now, when I got to be a teenager, that kind of waned a little bit. My dad called me on it the day before I left for Bible college. But when I was a little boy, I knew that I could go running to mom or dad and they would do anything in the world for me. I know that my dad worked hard and he gardened and he hunted and he fished and he worked so that we'd have food on the table. And I trusted my dad. And I knew that my mom would bandage up just about anything and rub Mercurochrome on just about anything I had and doctor me up real good. I knew they cared about me. But I knew also that if I crossed the line, I was going to get a whipping, a hard whipping with a belt. I knew that was going to happen. And I had a fear of my mom because of that. And it was not at all contradictory to her love for me and my running to her when I needed her. The fear that the Bible tells us that is going to be cast out is not the fear of God. It's the fear of the enemy. That's the fear that perfect love casts out. Hope that helps you. Let's see here. Got a couple minutes here. Hey, Craig from Shell Knob. How you doing, buddy? Pastor Mike, God bless. Thank the Lord, Bethel, and you so much for shedding the truth and the light of Christ. So glad you do what you do. By the way, have you seen where the Missouri lawmakers in Jefferson City are trying to pass a nullification bill? Seems it has passed the Senate and is being voted on in the House this week. No, I haven't. A nullification. Help me out with that, Craig from Shell Knob. If passed, okay, you did already. I'm sorry. If passed, will nullify federal laws and unenforceable in the state of Missouri. Will go as far as to arrest any federal agent that tries to enforce any unconstitutional laws inside the state of Missouri. Now, I get it. The nullification, in other words, new gun laws coming down from the federal government, they're going to say you can't do that here. And if you try to do it here, we're going to arrest your rear end and the rest of you. Now, will it pass? It will probably pass in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, but I guarantee you, J. Obama Nixon will not sign it. He will veto it, and it'll go back, and maybe it'll pass after that. I don't know. 50-50 chance. One can only hope, all right? And you know what that is? That is the state of Missouri saying to the central government, you cannot tell us what to do. We have local jurisdiction over our guns here, and you can't tell us not to have them. All right? God bless you. I love you. I am a provocateur today. I am provoking you not to anger, not to fear, not to doubtful disputations. I am provoking you to study the Word, is what I hope I'm doing. And I think that's why God called me, because God's provoked me. Mike, is that really what you believe? Is that what you stand on? Have you ever read what I said about it? And I had to admit, God, one day, no, God, I didn't. You know what I used to do? Before I got into this ministry, I used to buy prophecy books, and every place where it had scripture in it, I would bypass that and say, I already know what that says, and I wanted to read what everybody else was saying. I used to do that. And I catch myself now when somebody hands me a book, you know the first thing I'm looking for? Where's the scripture verses at? I want to see the scripture verses here. I promise you I do that. So I'm going to provoke you. From now until I die, I'm going to provoke you to read this book and study it so you know what you believe. All right? That's all I'm trying to do. I love you. God bless you. Adios.